We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
Stick your fingers in Hebrews chapter 2 and Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to go ahead and dispel a couple of questions that I know are probably burning in your mind right now. Number one, who is this fellow? I'll tell you who I am. I'm Mark Brown's brother. And what am I doing up here? I'll tell you this. Brother Shannon called me about a month ago. And I can put my hand on the Bible if I need to, but I know y'all trust me. And this is the way our conversations always go. When he calls me, I always answer the phone. I'm like, what's up, man? He's like, hey, dude. Is there any way you can do November the 2nd? Your brother's busy. So I don't know if I was like 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th on the list. I have no idea, but I just know that Mark was called first, who's my younger brother, and this is what you get. Now, the other question I know you're asking is, why in the world is he dressed like that? Houndstooth coat, slacks, Christmas socks. I don't have any skinny jeans with white tennis shoes. So you get what you get. You know, I grew up in this church, and I'll talk about that a little bit later on. I'm 58 years old, and I look out here across the crowd, and I know a lot of y'all, but there are a lot of people that I don't know. And I can remember the day when I knew every single person that walked through the door of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. But thank goodness the Lord has continued to bless our church and grow our church, and now we have so many new faces, and it's shame on me that I don't know. I went around this morning and I spoke to probably 15, 20, 30 people, which I normally don't do. I'm one of those people who comes in and I see the couple of people out there, and then I go get in my seat and I don't ever say anything to everybody else, and then I leave. But I was working the room this morning like Mark, a politician, you know, trying to hopefully to get another life insurance policy or something, you know. And trust me, being his brother, I get those invoices every month, multiple invoices, just like y'all do. He don't mind mailing them out. But, you know, this week when Brother Shannon called me about a month ago, I already had a verse in my mind that I had been looking at, I'd been praying over, I'd been studying, I'd been researching, I'd been Googling. I know y'all don't Google stuff, but I Google stuff. And I've been looking at this verse, and it's a pretty deep verse. And I'm not like Brother Shannon. I don't have a bunch of stickies and all that type of stuff, so I got an outline. So I'm going to have to stick to my outline a little bit. So y'all may see me looking down some. You may see me stumbling a little bit, and I can't recall a bunch of scripture from heart like he does. But this week, as I was kind of jotting everything down, and I worked on it just off and on throughout the week and trying to get it together, I told Julie, I said, it's just not coming together. But I had no doubt that this is what the Lord wanted me to preach about. It's not your Sunday morning service, not your Sunday morning sermon. Okay? This is more like a revival service sermon. Because it makes you ask the question, do you know that you know? And sometimes we sing these songs about being a friend of God. And the Bible tells us that if we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior and ask Him to come in our heart, then yes, we are a friend of God. But if we have not done that, the Bible says that we are enemies of Christ. And so today we're going to look at a verse or two. I'm going to give you what the Holy Spirit gave me, if that's okay with you, and then we'll be done, okay? So let's look. Last week, Brother Shannon mentioned Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, and he said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of God. And when I heard that last week, I thought, you know what? I think I might be on the right track. Maybe God has given me exactly what he wants me to talk about. I'm going to put this up here so I don't fall off. Maybe he has given me what he wants me to talk about. You know, over the years, I know that y'all have probably taken your spiritual gift evaluation, and y'all probably know what your gifts are. I know what some of mine are. And the Bible tells us that if you are a true believer, if you've asked Christ to come in your heart, you have at least one spiritual gift. A lot of people have more than one, okay? Some people say that teaching is one of my spiritual gifts. I teach a Sunday school class. My people, for whatever reason, act like they like me. And then I have a few other things that I think are spiritual gifts. But one thing that I've never shied away from is sharing the gospel with people. And the Lord has put people on my heart over the years to go and share. Okay? To go share the gospel with people. And it's people that I either work with or people that I know through church or just friends. And when I say share the gospel, I'm not talking about, hey, will you come to church with me? I'm talking about sharing the gospel and say, if you step from this side of eternity today and met Jesus, where would you go? At some point, I always end up taking them down the Roman road. You know, we start with Romans 3:23 and talk about, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners. And then we talk about 6:23, for the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And then 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we walk down the Roman road, but inevitably I always come to a point that I ask a specific question to where they have to give a specific answer so that I know exactly where they stand. And the question is this: if you died today, would you go to heaven? If you died today, would you go to heaven? If you step from this side today and face God, would he let you into heaven? There's only two answers. The answer is either yes, he would, because I got the blood of Jesus Christ on my life. I don't deserve to be in your heaven, God. I don't deserve for you to let me in, but when I was a human being, I came to a point to where I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, and he said that I will be an advocate for you, standing before the Father. And I'll tell him, you're one of mine, let him in. And that's the only reason that we're ever going to get into heaven is because Jesus Christ, we've asked him into our heart. The other answer is to that question is no. It's either yes or it's no. There's no in between. But inevitably, I get answers like this that say, I hope I would, or I think I would, or I'm trying, or I don't really know. Well, the Bible tells us plain and simple. In John 5, 1 John 5:13, it says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. So today as we look at what I'm going to talk about, the question is this. It's either, yes, I would, not on my own being, not because of anything that I've done, not because I deserve to, because what we all deserve is hell. But we have the blood of Christ on our life if we've asked him to come into our heart. Or the answer is no. Or the answer is, you know what, I'm doing the best I can and I try to do more good than I do bad and I just hope that when I get there, it all works out. But let me tell you this, it's not going to work out. Today we're going to look at a question that's very solemn. And it's going to take us right to the point of what our destiny is, where we stand with God, okay? So let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message was declared by angels, proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution. Here's the question. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? That's the question before us today. That's the question that the Bible says, ask us if we neglect, if we put off, if we accept, or whatever the case might be. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? I'm going to give you 3 points. So I'm one of them. I'm not a trained speaker or anything like that. So I got like a little topic. I'm going to give you 3 points, and then we're done. The first way that we answer that question is through the great provision. The greatest provision that God made for mankind can be summed up in one word, and that's salvation. So how do we escape? It's through salvation. We accept Christ as our personal Savior. What does that word mean, salvation? To simply mean saved, does it mean that we'll go to heaven? When we die, does it mean that we're religious, that we come to church, that we raise our hand when we're singing praise songs? Are we saying our prayers? Salvation means a little bit more of that. So let's flip over to Luke 15. We're going to look at 2 parables. Luke chapter 15, verse 3. This is the parable of the lost sheep. Then Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not repent. Verse 8, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Salvation means this. It is the complete restoration of a sinner to God. The complete restoration of a sinner to God. Our fellowship with God was broken in the Garden of Eden. And the only way that we can be restored to God is through salvation, through accepting His Son, Jesus Christ, into our heart as our personal Savior. That is salvation. It's the provision that God has made for bringing us back into fellowship with Himself and into the safety of the fold. In the parables, when the one was found, just one, the people rejoiced, the angels rejoiced, the angels were happy that one person repented and came to know Christ. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Why is it great? The writer of Hebrews says, such a great salvation. It has to be great. It's great for a number of reasons. Number one, it's great because of the love that provided it. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. that he gave his only one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The love that provided that salvation was great. It's great because of the price that was paid for. Luke 23:33 says, and when they came to the place that is called Golgotha, or the skull, there they crucified him. You know, Jesus was born. The gospel message is this, and I always tell when I'm teaching classes or I'm talking to people or whatever, the gospel message is simple, okay? And I don't think it's like looking back, hindsight being 20/20, God made it perfect. It's simple and it's perfect. What is the gospel message? The gospel message is this. Jesus Christ, number one, is the Son of God, and he was born of a virgin birth. He lived on this earth for about 33 years and did his ministry. He was crucified to pay the cost for our sins because we could not pay for them ourselves. Then he was risen on the third day, and he ministered, and he was seen by hundreds of people. He ascended to the right hand of God the Father, where he sits today. And if you put your faith in him, if you put your trust in him, then he will give you the salvation that we're talking about today. That is the gospel message. And the thing about the foot of the cross, the thing about receiving Christ, it does not matter how much money you have. It does not matter how little money you have. It doesn't matter what job you work. It doesn't matter what color skin you have. The ground at the foot of the cross is as level as the stage I'm standing on. And when we kneel before the cross of Jesus Christ and we say, God, come into my heart and save me, we're just like everybody else that has come before us or is going to come after us. It is a perfect, perfect way, the plan that God came up for salvation. It's great because of the love that provided it. It's great because of the price that was paid for it. And it's great because of the blessings that are included in it. Salvation includes every single blessing we need. Jesus Christ coming into our heart gives us everything we need. When we say we're saved, what does that mean? Outside of church, people don't understand what that means. But when we say inside the church, oh, I'm saved, here's what it means. It means we're forgiven. It means that we've been cleansed. It means that we have chosen to ask Christ into our heart to receive eternal life. It means that we have joy, that we have peace, that we have mercy, that we have grace, that we try to treat our fellow man like we want to be treated, and that it means that heaven is our actual home and we're just trespassers in this land. The great provision is salvation. How do we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? The great provision is salvation. And then we come to the great peril or the great dilemma. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we have to decide what we're going to do with what God has provided us with. Some people just unfortunately reject. I've talked to many people over the years, and some people knew the Bible better than I did. Some people knew about church more than I do. Some people can even quote scripture way better than I can, but yet they reject as Christ into their heart. Those people are lost, my friend. They're lost. And until they accept, they're going to die and go to hell. The second category in that group under the great peril or the great dilemma are those that accept. Those that actually say, Jesus, I want you. I need you. I want you to come into my heart and save me. I want you to come in and transform me and make me different. I want you to come into my heart and make me the person that you want me to be. And for those of us that are sitting in this room today that have done that, that are actually believers, we're in what we call the sanctification process. It doesn't mean just because we're saved, we're perfect. The Lord is continuously working on us. He is continuously making us more like Him day after day after day after day. Does it mean that we don't mess up tomorrow? We may mess up tomorrow, but guess what? He's right there with us. He's right there to forgive us, and we still have His stamp on our life. Those are the people that accept. Those are the people that have received Jesus with joy, and it's growing in their heart. And when they die, they're going to heaven. Not because of what they've done, but because of who they have trusted and put their faith in. The third category, and this is a category that a lot of people fall into. These are the neglectors. These are the procrastinators. These are the ignorers. These people may come to church. These people may hear the praise song sung every Sunday morning. These people could even be members of the church. These people may know who Jesus is, and they may even believe that He's the Son of God. The Bible tells us that even the devil and the demons believe in the name of Jesus Christ. But every time there is a call that goes out, there's always a better day to do it than today. Well, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you need to move. When the Holy Spirit moves on your life, that today is the day of salvation, because who knows if there'll ever be another call on your life. Because this is the way I believe, and I don't know if it's right. I know the Bible says this, that the Father draws those to Himself. And you cannot wake up one morning, because it is not built into our sinful nature. You cannot wake up one morning and say, I think I'm going to get saved today, because it is not in your nature. Your nature is to get up and go about your business and go about your work and go about your family and go about all the church activities that you go about. But getting saved is not in your nature. The Father has to convict you. The Father has to draw you. And that's why the Bible says that when that happens, today is the day of salvation. Many people attend church and hear the gospel and they don't do anything about it. They procrastinate because tomorrow is always a better day. They ignore it because they don't want to face it. Here's the facts. This neglect faces millions of people today in our country. And I'm telling you, we all know good people. We all have good neighbors. We all have good friends. We all have good work people around us. But we know in our hearts that from the fruit and from what they talk about, and the stuff that they say and the stuff that they do. Now, they'll give you the shirt off their back and they'll come help you in a minute's notice. But we know that as far as we can tell, without being judgmental, they are not believers in Jesus Christ. They may know who Jesus is and they may attend church every once in a while. but they don't know who Jesus Christ is personally. How easy it is for us to get absorbed with our home life or our work life or our family life or extracurricular activities, ball games, little league, softball, ballet, you just name it. And we neglect the calling of Christ on our life. You know what? If we knew something was happening to our health, we wouldn't neglect it. If we knew something was happening right now to our house, we wouldn't neglect it. If we knew something was happening to our family right now, we would not neglect it. But for some reason with our soul, we kick the can down the road. Because we always think that there'll be another time, that there'll be another chance, that there'll be another opportunity. Most of y'all knew my dad. He was a man after God's own heart. He was healthy as a horse, worked out 7 days a week, believer in Jesus Christ, did everything and showed the example that you want to show to our grand, to his kids, to me, Mark and Deborah, to the grandkids, to the in-laws, to the step, to the daughters-in-law, and I mean, perfect example of the head of the household. We watched the SEC championship ball game on a Saturday night. He goes to bed and he doesn't wake up Sunday morning. God took him home. But yet, if we knew something was happening to our family, to our house, to our health, we would immediately jump on it. But when it's our soul, we always think. Satan always tells us there'll be another opportunity. You'll have more time. Today's not today. When we get to the end of this sermon, I'm going to ask you to make a decision. For those of you that are believers, that already said, Jesus Christ, I know I have you in my heart, then you know who you are, but I'm telling you, I know there's people in this auditorium that when asked and faced with the question of if I died today, would I go to heaven? I hope I would, or I'm doing my best. I'm going to make a call that, hey, let's make today the day that we find the courage and we don't kick the can down the road and we accept today. The great provision, the great peril, and then we have the great problem. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? If you ignore God's provision for your soul's salvation, how will you escape the consequences of such neglect? This is a logical question. Can you solve it yourself? Anna Jane and I competed in a CrossFit little competition yesterday morning. And it started off with a little weight complex. And then when you got done, when you lifted as much weight as you could lift, you went to the rower and then you rowed for the remaining time. And here was the rule about the rower. Once you lifted the weight and you touched the rower, there was no going back and lifting any more weight. You were done with the weight. So if you lifted a certain amount and all of a sudden you got over on the rower and thought you got loose and maybe I can lift a little bit more, that wasn't the rules. The rules were lift all the weight you can weigh, touch the rower, and you're done with the weight. Here's the rules of life. Here's the rules with your eternal life. You live this life, and when God calls you home, the decision's already been made. There is no redo. There is no going back. There is no, I meant to. Here's the great problem. If we ignore God's provision for our soul's salvation, how will we escape the consequences of the neglect? Can we solve it ourselves? You know, if anybody refuses and ignores the only salvation that has been provided that is available, how can they possibly be saved? If there's only one way for a man to travel to heaven and he rejects that way, how can he possibly go? The great problem is this. When you go from here to standing in front of God, it's too late. God can't solve it. You can't solve it. And there is nobody else that can solve it. Your fate is sealed. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the only path to God. I am the path to salvation. And I'm the only way. He says, I am the truth. Jesus represents absolute truth. He cuts through all the lies and all the deception. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus said, I am the life. Jesus Christ alone is the source of eternal life with God the Father. It's like I said, Ephesians 2:8 tells us that we have been saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's a free gift of God. And when I get to heaven and I stand before God, I just hope that I get asked a question and I hope I'm man enough to answer it like I want to answer it. And I want to say, God, I do not deserve to be in your heaven. But I did accept Christ as my personal Savior. And he tells me in your word that he'll stand here and be my advocate. And he'll stand here and say, hey, he's one of mine. He ain't perfect, but he's one of mine. 50 years ago, I'll tell you my age. 50 years ago, in the old sanctuary before it even got remodeled, I was sitting right over here. We didn't have this many pews. I was sitting right over here. We had a revival service, and the man preached a heaven and hell sermon. And he said, if you die without Jesus, you're going to hell. If you die with Jesus, you're going to heaven. That's basically what the sermon was. And the Holy Spirit of God had already been talking to me. He had already been working on me a little bit. And I knew that night that if I died, I'd go to hell. At 8 years old, I wasn't a bad kid. But at 8 years old, I knew that if I died that night, I would go to hell. And I was frozen right over there. And Miss Anita Thigpen asked me, are you okay? And she could tell, I mean, it's tears. 8 years old and just tears streaming down my face because I knew that I was not in the right relationship with God. And she went and got my dad. And me and my dad and my pastor in our old sanctuary, there was a little room off this side and there was a little room off this side. We went to this room right over here. And I got on my knees that night in that room. And I prayed to receive Christ. And I can remember going home and I laid on my bed and I just cried and I just cried and I was broken. At 8 years old, because I knew that I had not been in the right relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, that prayer I prayed was a simple prayer. Wasn't anything magical about it. It went something like this. Said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe that you're the Son of God that came and died on the cross and paid the price for my sins, and I believe that you rose on the third day, and that right now you sit at the right hand of God the Father. And I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to come into my heart and save me. And I trust you to hold my eternal future in your hand. It was just a simple prayer. So I ask you today, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? And let me ask you this question that I always ask when I'm talking to people about Jesus Christ. If you died today, would you go to heaven? And in your heart of hearts, some of you are saying, just like I did, I'm not perfect, but guess what? I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior, and just because of that, I'm going to get in, because Jesus Christ is going to sit there and he's going to say, Father, he's one of mine. His name's in the book of life. But there's some of you sitting here that's saying, you know what, I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying, and I hope so, and I'm trying to do more good than I am bad, and I just hope it all works out. And I don't want to be that guy, but let me just tell you, it ain't going to work out. If God calls you home today and you hadn't made that profession of faith, you will die and go to hell. And folks, I don't know why when Brother Shannon called me a month ago that this is what God gave me to talk about today. And maybe they're in the 11 o'clock service, but there may be some in the 8:30 service. But as we have the invitation right now, let me ask you, if you died today, would you go to heaven? If you cannot say yes, if you cannot say I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior, I've been at the foot of the cross where it's even, where it's level, and I prayed to receive Christ and he lives in my heart, if you can't say that, then you're lost. As we sing, as we stand, I want you to do something for me. Casey, if you'll sing, and Cindy, if you'll play. Ty, if you'll dim the lights. Everybody stand and let's close our eyes and bow our heads. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to bow your head and I want you to be praying for somebody that you know that may not be a Christian. I want you to pray over this room that if there's somebody in this room today that doesn't know Jesus, that they would have the courage to step forward. Because I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if you're 8 years old or 18 years old or 28 years old or 48 years old or 58 years old. It is never too late. It's only too late when you hadn't made a decision and God calls you home. Let me ask you to do this. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you know that you're one of those people that has never made that profession of faith, I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm not asking you to do anything crazy. I'm just saying, just raise your head and look at me. Just open your eyes and look at me. I see you. Okay. The second thing is this. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make it right. If it's you, have the courage to step out and come forward and make it right.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.